Well, it may be cold outside, but I'll tell you, with that kind of praise and worship, it's warm inside. Amen? Doesn't that just warm your heart? Oh, I'm so excited you're here today on this frigid cold South Florida day. I heard Pastor John say this morning that he felt cold until he looked at the news this morning and saw them up north really dealing with some cold. But this is cold for us, right? So we'll suffer and we'll whine and we'll complain. No, we won't do anything. We'll enjoy it. We know it's going to be gone tomorrow. It could be 70 degrees tomorrow down here. We'll be going, ah. So right now, let's all get it out of our system and go, brr. All right, good. We did it. Hey, talk about brr. Last night, it was cold at our Winterfest, but it was a great time. Amen. I want to thank everyone who came to it, and I especially want to thank all of you who served at it as ministry partners in one place or another. We couldn't do it without you. It was a great night. Saw so many new faces that I had never seen before, and I know we've had several folks who came last night to the Winterfest that have come to be a guest at our church for the first time, already in our first service and now in our second service, and so that's what it's all about, bringing people to Jesus Christ. Amen? By the way, we've got a new way for you to do that. And, you know, one of our five core values is to invite people to come to church. And so we've produced these business-size cards that are simple invitations. They're available all in the lobby, all kinds of different places. Grab yourself two or three or four of them and keep it in your pocket, keep it in your purse. When you're checking out at the grocery store, extend an invitation to someone. You know, most people will come if they get an invitation. We just need to train ourselves to invite people. And so this is a little tool you can use. I'm going to carry five or six or seven of them on me all the time. And wherever I'm at, either out to dinner or going through the checkout line or just seeing somebody, I'm going to invite folks to come. And if you do that, we'll really reach a lot of people for Jesus Christ. And that is the mission here at The Bridge. Now, I told you last week we were going to have a test. Now, last week, if you're a guest, we're memorizing our mission statement here so that we can use it to invite people to our church. We shared the first line of our mission statement. Now, right now, real quick, the first person that can give me the first line of our mission statement, we got a really cool bridge umbrella for. So just jump up and give it to me anywhere. Where are you at? First person, give us the first line of our mission statement. Everyone gets an F. Everyone gets an F. Now, we actually had someone in the first service get. All right, now listen. The reason we want to learn this together is because there's a practical value to it. And that's to help people understand who we are. If you say, hey, and you give one of these cards out, come on to the bridge. Well, they say, well, who's the bridge? Well, we can tell them right away. We are God's bridge to people everywhere. God's bridge to all people, right? That's the first line. And then it goes on to say, a span across the gap of where they are now to where God created them to be. Now, we can use that invitation. I can say, you know, you say, well, who's the bridge? I can say, well, the bridge is, we're God's bridge to you. A span across the gap of where you are right now to where God created you to be. That's what we want to do. And that's who we are. So there will be another test. It's printed in your bulletin. So if you want to take it home and you want to learn it and be able to use it to reach out to other people, let's do that. Well, we want to be a bridge to you today. I want to show you how timeless God's word is. Last week, I started a brand new series called Jumpstart. Jumpstart your life, jettison your junk. As we go into a new year, we need to get rid of some of this trash we've been carrying around in our lives for years so that we can have a fresh start. We can jumpstart our lives as we begin a new year. Last week, we talked about jettisoning our past. Some of the junk we got to get rid of is in our past. Paul, in writing to Philippians, people in the city of Philippi in the New Testament days, he told us this. He said, even though I haven't perfected this Christianity thing, he says, here's one thing I've learned that is so important. He says, we got to forget what's behind us. And why is that so important? Why do we need to forget what's behind us? Because there's nothing we can do to change it. It's history. There's no way to impact it anymore. And yet we hang on to the things in our past and they impede us from taking the next step to where God wants us to go. And so we saw last week there are three life experiences that enslave us to our past. Those are grief, grudges, and guilt. Now, I can't reteach that message this morning, but I know it was impactful because I had so many of you come and say, I needed that so much. And so if you missed last week, you can either go on our website, gobridgechurch.org, and listen to it online, or you can go back to our resource table and get a CD and listen to it sometime this week. But let me really encourage you to get it, because for a lot of us, our past is holding us back from crossing the bridge to the next place God wants to take us. Today, I want to talk about another part of our life that we need to jettison. And I have no doubt that this one is going to speak to a lot of us here today. After the first service, I had so many people come and say, thank you for that, because that's where I am. And that's exactly what I needed to hear today. Today we're going to talk about jettison our worry. We got to jettison our worry. We're going to talk about why it's so important to jettison this morning, our worry, and how to do it. We're going to get some biblical guidelines on how to get past, how to manage our worry. Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, he said, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. He says, each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus, now remember, this isn't just some teacher speaking. This is God in the flesh of man. And Jesus says this to the people of his day, and he says it to us today. He says, listen, don't worry about tomorrow. He says, tomorrow will take care of itself. Don't worry about it. Don't be consumed about it. Now, we might ask, well, what's so wrong with worrying? What's wrong with it? Why is it such a big deal? Why did Jesus say that? Well, let me give you three quick reasons why we should jettison. One is this, that it's unreasonable. It's unreasonable to worry. You know what the definition of worry is? According to Webster, it's this: fear or nervousness about what might happen. It's fearing what might happen. We play all these scenarios in our mind of what might happen. I love what that old sage said, Mark Twain. He said this, I'm an old man. I've had many troubles, most of which never really happened. See, it nails it, doesn't it? He said, I've worried about so many things. I've had so many troubles that I've worried about in my life, and most of them never have taken place. And that's exactly statistically true, by the way. Statistically, 85 to 90% of the things that we worry about never happen, or they don't happen the way we feared they were going to happen. And so it's an exercise in futility. Jesus, again, in Matthew 6:27 this time said, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Think about how profound that is. By worrying, who can add a single hour to your life? Who can really change anything by worrying? See, it's unreasonable, but it's also faithless. It's an act of not believing God. In Psalm 55, verse 22, it says, cast your care on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. Now, this isn't an isolated passage of Scripture, by the way. This is just one of many that I could have chosen. Over and over again, throughout the entire Bible, from the beginning of the Bible in the Old Testament, all through the Old Testament, into the New Testament, to the very end of the Bible is filled with admonitions like this. Don't worry. Cast your cares on the Lord. He will take care of you. He will never let the righteous fall. And when we, in the face of that, especially as people who call ourselves Christ followers, believers, when we continue to let worry obsess us, it's an act of faithlessness before the Lord. He's saying, come on, how many times, how many ways, how many times have I told you, give it to me? It's also unhealthy. Maybe you're here today and you're not a real religious person. And we always have folks that come or just exploring this idea of a spiritual life, exploring a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you're welcome. We're glad that you're here, because we have some exciting things to share with you. See, because God's word is so practical. It's not just some ancient book. It's applicable to our everyday lives even today. And one of the reasons that worry is so destructive is because it's so unhealthy to us. It destroys our emotional life, our physical life and our spiritual life. In an op-ed on WebMD entitled How Worrying Affects the Body, the author says this: with excessive worrying, your mind and body go into overdrive as you constantly focus on, again, what might happen. Now, that's what the experience some of us are living right now. Our minds are spinning all these wild scenarios, and we just can't rest, and we just have lost control. And it's affecting our mind, and it's affecting our body. The article goes on to say, many chronic worries tell us of feeling a sense of impending doom or unrealistic fears that only increase their worries. See, if we feed worry, if we feed anxiety, it has the same effect as if we feed grief or we feed grudges or we feed guilt. It will continue to suck us down to a place that's increasingly physically, emotionally, and spiritually unhealthy. And that's exactly what's happened to some of us today. We're kind of in this spiral down into the abyss that can lead to some pretty bad places, that can cause some physical issues like fatigue. Ever notice how when you're worried and you're obsessed with something, how you're tired all the time and you're wanting to fall asleep driving the car, and in a minute you sit down and you're just tired all day and cause the inability to concentrate and cause irritability, and that's never good. It estranges our relationships, and we begin to have fights with other people, and people don't even want to be around us, and when they don't want to be around us, that further isolates us, which allows worry to consume us even more. Muscle aches, and we get all tight and tense when we're worried, and that causes the blood to be constricted in our veins and our arteries, and all of a sudden we got shoulder aches and muscle aches and back aches and leg aches, and our whole body is responding to it. Also, digestive disorders. Memory loss. Some of us are getting older. We got enough trouble with that. We don't need to add to it, don't we? Premature coronary artery disease and even heart attacks. That's how unhealthy living with anxiety, not managing our worrying, is. In fact, the article concludes and says this: if excessive worrying and high anxiety go untreated, they can lead to depression and even suicidal thoughts. That's how dangerous worry is that's not being managed. It's very, very unhealthy for us. Now, we need to jettison it. We need to get rid of that. And so you might say, well, how do I do that? Well, this is where it gets exciting. Let's look to God's word for suggestions and guidance that he gives us on what to do with our worry so that it doesn't bring us down. The first thing to do is trust God with your tomorrow. Give it to God. Remember we saw over and over in Scripture, it says, God says, give it to me, bring it to me. I can handle it, you can't. You're not strong enough. Trust me with your tomorrow. Psalm 56:4, David, that great king of Israel and the slayer of Goliath and all that we talk a lot about here, one of the greatest Old Testament characters, he wrote this psalm and it says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. He says, what can mortal man do to me? Now, understand, when David pens this psalm, he's not in his palace just kind of philosophizing about life. And he has just been captured by the arch enemies of Israel, the Philistines. He is under their control. He is imprisoned by them. At any moment, they may come in and kill him as the king of Israel. And in that situation, under those circumstances, how many might be a little bit worried? David, because of his trust in God and his relationship with God, and the same man who writes another psalm who says, my times are in your hands. He says, I'm not going to be afraid. He says, if God is for me, if God is with me, he's in control of my life. He's in control of my destiny. What can man do to me? Similar, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 19, he says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Jesus Christ. He's writing to the Philippians. He's thanking them for giving him some subsistence, some support. They just sent him as a gift. And where did they send it to? They sent it to him when he is in prison, under house arrest, under the psychotic Roman Emperor Nero And we all know about Nero. And in fact, Nero will ultimately have Paul decapitated because of his stand for Jesus Christ. So it's in bondage in Rome under the threat of the psychotic Roman emperor that he writes this letter. And by the way, if you read this letter in the New Testament, the letter to the Philippians, it is the most positive book in the Bible. Here Paul is in these horrible, terrible circumstances that most of us would be shaken. And because of his trust in God, he says, I'm not worried about it. He says, because I know my God is greater than my circumstances. Now, another thing that we need to do is we need to attack worry. So often we allow worry to attack us. And when we allow it to attack us and don't counterattack it, it's going to take us to those places that are unhealthy. So how do we attack worry? Well, one thing we need to do is jettison your junky input. Jesus says this again in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 22. Jesus said, "The eye of the body is the lamp, or the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is dark, how great is that darkness?" Now, let me explain to you what Jesus is saying. Here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, depending on what we allow into our eye gate, depending on what influence externally we allow to have on us is going to impact our eternal response and our eternal well-being. He said, if we feed our eyes with junk, then guess what's going to happen inside us? We're going to be characterized and we're going to be captured by the spirit of depression and negativity. We need to jettison junky input. Now, he uses the eye in this case. He could have used the ears. He could have used relationships. What is causing you to focus and be more obsessed with your worry? Maybe it's reading the newspaper every day or turning on the news and the economy right now is struggling and the stock market has been plunging and all that. And maybe you're all worried about your stock portfolio and your investments and your 401k and you're all worried about it and it's got you all tied up. Well, don't listen to those reports. See, don't feed yourself. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you got some circumstances that are tough and you surrounded yourself with a bunch of worry warts and they're worried about everything in their life and their misery enjoys company and so they're just going to drag you down and instead of pumping you up, they're saying, I don't know how you're coping with it. I couldn't cope with what you're going through. I don't know how you take another step. And they're just dragging you down. See, whatever it is that is feeding your anxiety, you need to get rid of that. Not necessarily forever, but until you gain control and sense that you are managing your anxiety. Attack your worry with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving over the past. I love this passage in Psalm 77:11. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. In your circumstances right now that you're worried about, and they're really kind of controlling your thought life and your relationships and your health in many different ways. Remember that this isn't the first time this has happened to you. Let's just give witness to each other. How many of you have been through really tough times before and God brought you through them? How many? Look around. Look around. There's hands everywhere. Almost every person in this auditorium just raised their hands. See, what we need to do is when new circumstances present themselves and we begin to feel ourselves getting all tense and tight and worried, we need to remember and with thanksgiving go back and rehearse the different times of our life when God has been there for us and thank him. Say, God, I remember this is tough right now and I'm a little scared, God, and I'm going to admit that to you, but I remember back when this happened and I thought I was going to get wiped out and somehow I'm still here. And I remember, God, when this happened, and boy, I just was losing it. And yet, God, somehow you brought me through. Oh, and I remember this one, God? Well, I mean, it was really bad. And out of nowhere, you did this. See, we need to remember those times. And we need to thank God for them. Because in doing that, we're going to remind ourselves that if he did it before, he'll do it again. It's the same God. He's not less powerful today than he was then. He doesn't love us less today than he did then. He's the same God, and he will bring us through. We need to attack it with thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, again, Paul in prison. He says, don't be anxious about anything, but with everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving. Not with, oh me God, oh my God, oh God, this looks bad. Oh God, I don't know, this one you're not going to be able to get me through. Oh God, it's with thanksgiving. And then look what's going to happen. He goes on to say, and the peace of God which transcends understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The key is in Christ Jesus. We got to turn to God. We got to give it to God and not try to maintain it and manage it ourselves. Attack your worry with thanksgiving. Also, attack your worry with praise. This is one of my favorite ones, personally. This is one that God has used in my life over and over and over again. When I get into tough circumstances and situations and I begin to lose control and I begin to worry obsessively, this is something I turn to over and over again. Scripture says in Psalm 59:16, but I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in time of trouble. I will literally praise God by singing to him. I really will. I'll get up in the morning and I'll sing to him. And I'll be driving my car and I'll sing to him. Now I'm kind of an older guy and I was raised in a very traditional church. And so all these old hymns kind of are filling my mind. And so I love the new contemporary songs that we sing and they really minister to me. But the ones that are more natural, because they're the ones I sang for a big portion of my life, are some of the old hymns. And when I'm worried, I'm reminded of the hymn that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'll dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is shifting sand. I'll get down and I'll sing. I'll be singing at the top of my lungs in my car, how great thou art, or great is thy faithfulness. And I praise God and I thank God and I attack my worry with fear. And you know what? There is a substantial, noticeable difference. Why? Because I turn to God and the Holy Spirit who lives inside me because of my relationship with Jesus Christ gets excited when I'm praising him. And all of a sudden, I'm reminded through the words of the songs of God's power, of God's love, of God's provision. And my worry starts evaporating away and my faith becomes stronger. Attack your worry. Do something with today. See, that's one of the powers of anxiety in our life, is it paralyzes us. And we just kind of find ourselves sitting around, staring at the ceiling, sitting around, staring at the floor, and there's no activity. And increasingly, it consumes us and takes over, and we're paralyzed by it. And we forget that we're living. What did Jesus say? First verse we looked at, Matthew 6:34. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have plenty of worry for itself. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, stay in today. Don't forget you got today. Don't miss what the opportunities you have today and what relationships you have today. Don't waste all that on worrying about tomorrow, which is probably never going to happen in the first place. So, use today. Get out and exercise. This is one of the best ways physically to deal with worry. Medical experts tell us that if we'll get out and just walk briskly for 20 to 30 minutes around the neighborhood, around the housing development, if we'll just walk for 20, 30 minutes, our body will begin producing endorphins. And endorphins are a natural hormone that our body produces that bring a tranquilizing effect on us. And I know this works because I do this stuff. And it'll work. You just get out there and get your heart pumping and get your blood going. And endorphins will come in, and you'll start to have a sense of control that you didn't have prior to that. Get going on that project you've been procrastinating about. The idea is do something today to get your mind off the worry so that you're not sitting in your rocking chair, so you're not sitting in your lazy boy recliner just staring and worrying about what might happen in the future. Get going. Now, here's one that never ceases to work. I have never, ever engaged this particular strategy and had it fail me. And that's this. Get out and help somebody else. Get out and help somebody else. See, the reason worry captivates us and brings so much trouble into our life is because we're focused on ourselves. Paul, again, in the same book, Philippians, writing from prison, In Philippians 2:4, he said, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Now, this is a guy who's in jail, and he's saying this. He said, I'm not concerned about me. I'm concerned about others. And he talks and he writes about, well, he's in prison, home arrest, how he's witnessing to the guards. And even though he's in chains, that the gospel continues to go on. And so you reach out to other people. Don't be focused on yourself. Pick up the phone this afternoon and call someone who you know is discouraged and or worried, and have a phone call and encourage them today. Or maybe doing something physical for them. Get together and have a cup of coffee and talk, or take them something to eat this afternoon, or do something, but get your mind off yourself and do things for other people. It will help you. That will be doing something with today. Also, build a support network. Let me tell you something about life that I've learned. And I'm kind of an introvert, so this is a hard lesson for me. I know you don't think that, but I am. I tend to just... We cannot survive life in isolation. Let me say it again. We cannot survive life in isolation. If we isolate ourselves, life is going to overcome us. And this is especially true with anxiety, with worry. Scripture again says in Proverbs 12:25, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Sometimes all we need to regain control emotionally and spiritually and ultimately physically is to engage somebody else who has encouraging word for us. See, as long as we isolate ourselves and we're thinking about whatever the circumstances are and we're worrying about it, what does it say? It says an anxious heart weighs a man down. Have you noticed that? It gets heavier. That weight gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Why? Because we're out of control. And once we start spinning all these crazy scenarios of what might happen in the future, they give birth to new scenarios. And so we're spinning off on them, and we're spinning off on them, and we're spinning off on them. And we just start spinning off on all this stuff, and we lose control, and it just weighs us down. That's exactly where some of us are this morning. We came in here with our shoulders slumped, our hands just hanging, no bounce to our step. And we just came in here, and a lot of us, I'm sure, came here hoping that somewhere there was going to be an encouraging word from the Lord. And there has been. And already your spirits are being lifted and hope is beginning to come back to you. The same thing happens when you engage with other people. Be careful who you choose. Again, you can't choose people who are negative, who are always walking around with a black cloud over their life. They're only going to drag you down. This is why we push life groups here so much at the Bridge. Because we want to help you to get into a relationship with a group of people that you can depend on and who will support you and help you when things start going south in your life. They'll know you. They'll recognize it. They'll care about it. You'll have established relationship, and they will be there to give you that encouraging word. And sometimes just someone's arm around us saying, hey, I love you and I care about you. And it's okay. God's got it under control. Let's pray together. Just that is enough to start saying, to feel a difference and to feel some control and some hope coming back. Build that support network. Get involved in a life group. You can do it right after church. Go back, see Pastor John in the lobby, and he's our Next Steps pastor, and he'll help you get hooked in. Now, if you've done all this, and you're still really consumed by worry and anxiety, there's one more step that we're always hesitant to take. But it's an important step, and there's no reason not to take it. And that's this. Get professional assistance. Go get some help from somebody who's trained to help you navigate through these rough times and through your anxiety and your worry. You know, it's crazy that when we're physically ill, we'll go to a doctor. At least we should if we're smart. I'm like a lot of men. I'm not that smart. And so I'll try to self-treat myself. You know, can hardly swallow, you know. I'm gargling with kerosene. It'll be okay, you know. I want to just go to the doctor, and the doctor can get me a Z-Pack, and I'll feel better in a couple days. But we more resist when we're emotionally unhealthy. We resist going out and getting help. Well, listen, here's the truth. God has wired us all differently. God has us, some of us as educators, and some of us as laborers, and some of us as teachers, and some of us as finance people, and some of us as retail people. And we have all these different interests, and God made us that way on purpose so that we could cover the spectrum of humanity and be able to reach out to people everywhere in every occupation. Well, you know what? God wired some people to be fantastic counselors, to help us through our emotional challenges, to help us through our spiritual challenges. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with seeking help. Now, you're here today, and you've been dealing with this for a long, long time. And you've tried all this stuff we've talked about today, and you're still stuck. And you're, in fact, you're still spiraling downhill. That you need to reach out and get some help. If you don't know where to reach, you see one of us, one of the pastors here at the church, and we'll help you get connected with some good Christian counseling institutions, and there's a bunch of them here in South Florida. There's no reason to carry this around anymore. Jettison your worry. Psalm 9:10 says this, "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Now, see, for we who are Christ followers, for we who are believers, that's where the rubber meets the road. Do we really believe? Now, I know we've believed for the eternal forgiveness of our sinfulness. We've trusted in Jesus Christ. But it goes so far beyond that. Do we believe? Do we trust him with the rest of our lives? Do we trust him with our emotional health, our physical health, our spiritual health? Look what that says. Read this with me today. Let's read it out loud. "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Now, we kind of said that like people who half believe that. All right, so let's do it one more time. Let's read it together one more time. "Those who know your name will trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." Now, someone here today needs to own that in a real personal way. You need to own that. Believe that. Own it. Take it with you. Accept it. Embrace it. Right now, let God do for you and in you what only he can do. He won't demand it. He won't plow into your life. He's waiting for you to invite him. But if you invite him, he won't betray his promise. He won't betray his word. Let's bow our heads all together right now. Everyone bow your head, please. Don't want to look around. I don't want to embarrass anyone. I want to have a special prayer this morning. And I want to pray especially for those of us here today that this particular part of the series is really impactful. This is where you're at right now. And right now, worry's got too strong of a foothold in your life. I'm going to pray for you. And if that's you, no one's going to embarrass you. I won't embarrass you. Would you just slip up your hand right now and say, "Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. That's where I'm at right now. That's me. This one's talking to me." Yeah, just lift your hand up. Yep, hands going up all over. Give you just another minute. Yep, there's, see more? See, Holy Spirit's talking to you right now. Listen, yeah, hands going up all over. All right, you can put your hands down. Now listen, the reason you just responded that way is not because I'm such an eloquent speaker. The reason you responded that way is because the Holy Spirit is responding to you. The Holy Spirit's reaching out to you. And the Holy Spirit's trying to say to you, listen to what you learned today. And don't just make it an academic exercise. Embrace it. Jesus is saying, "Give me your burden this morning. Trust me with it. And watch where we can go together." Father, I pray for every man and woman who sensed the Holy Spirit striving with their consciousness. And they were humble enough before you to admit that's where they're at. Lord, I do pray for every one of them right now. And God, I pray that they will put into practice, beginning right now, the things that Scripture taught us to do when worry becomes too big of a problem in our lives. And bottom line, root is trusting you. And so I pray that you will give them the faith to trust you right now. I pray that you will give them the perseverance to leave this place today and employ these strategies that we've talked about. And then, God, I pray most of all that you will honor your word and that you will bring into their lives today a peace that passes understanding, even though their circumstances are still there, where their circumstances won't control them, their thinking, but you will, God. You'll control their thought. You'll control their mind. And just as Scripture promised, that you'll bring peace that passes understanding, that you'll guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. God, make that a reality in the lives of everyone here today who raised their hands. Let them feel your presence right now. Speak to them, Holy Spirit. Bring them hope. Bring them peace. Bring them truth. Bring them courage. Right now, as you speak, as you minister to us. Maybe you're here today and you're worried about what's going to happen when this life passes. What's going to happen to you? Where are you going to go? We believe that there is life after this life, that this is the prelude to eternity. When this life's over, what's going to happen to you? Well, you know what? There's not even a reason to worry about that. Because God has taken care of that issue by sending Jesus Christ into the world to die on the cross for our sins. Scripture says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God wants to give every man, every woman on planet Earth the gift of eternal life, the gift of eternal forgiveness. Can't earn it, can't buy it. All we can do is receive it. Scripture says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast." If you're here today, don't worry about eternity. God has taken care of that issue if you will put your faith in Jesus Christ. And you do that simply by doing exactly that in a prayer. Admitting that there is nothing else you could possibly do. There's no good act you can do. There's no offering you could possibly give that will merit you eternal life with him. And right now, you'll do what I did and pretty much everybody here and will unconditionally surrender to the fact that the only way back to God is through Jesus. And you'll receive him as your Savior. Maybe praying something like this: "Jesus, I get it. You died on the cross for sin. And because you lived a sinless life, you were a worthy sacrifice for sin. And because you willingly went to the cross, God has given you alone the authority to forgive sin and to give the promise to extend the gift of eternal life. Jesus, I'm asking for that gift right now. So today, Jesus, I take all confidence off myself or anything else in this world. And I put my faith totally on you. I believe you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, were buried in 3 days, rose again, and that God has given you the authority to forgive sin. So right now, I believe on the name of the Son of God for eternal life." Listen, you know what Scripture says to every man, every woman who humbles himself or herself in that manner? 1 John 5:13 says, "These things I write to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." God, thank you for that promise. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, God, that you will heal us, and that you will strengthen us, that you will encourage us, and you will guide us through whatever life throws at us. Do that now. We give you our lives fresh and new today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.